We're always live, but we're not always remote. And I didn't bring my high-powered computer today. I brought my old cheapo. In fact, I thought I was going to have to do a lot of this show from out on the street, so I apologize for the quality. But I want to dive right into it. We are on scene, on location in Louisville, Kentucky, which is the site of the Operation Save America national event, which is coming up actually about 10 days from now. But we're here. We had to come a few days early because Brother Rusty Thomas and 9 other people were arrested down here in May. Wasn't it May, Rusty, that they were arrested for blocking the abortion clinic? And today is a pretrial hearing. So we're down here for the pretrial hearing. I want to take a pause here. Hey, Ray, can you hear? Are you hearing me? Is this coming across okay?
Yeah, loud and clear. I think Jared might still be having issues. We all hear you.
Okay, great. Jared's smart enough. He'll figure it out. I got Reverend Rusty Thomas here with me, and who's a National Director of Operation Save America, and Chet Gallagher, who's the Assistant Director. I didn't even expect to see Chet here, and Tom Riddell, who's one of the defendants, has to go to court today, and his wife Jeannie's here. My wife hasn't come down here. But they have to go to court today. We don't know exactly what's going to happen for the charges to be filed against these 10 people who, back in May, sat in front of the abortion clinic and tried to give a prophetic witness that it's time to do more than just talk about ending abortion, but actually end it. So I got Rusty here and Chet with me. Rusty, I'm just going to throw it to you real quick and just start talking here a little bit. Tell us what the heck's, how we got here, what's going on, what we expect today. And really, what were you guys expecting to do last May 12th, I think it was, Rusty, when this whole thing happened?
Yeah, what happened, Coach, it was Saturday, May 13th. We call it the Mother Day's Rescue. What it was, Coach, you have been a part of this, too, from the very beginning. You know, Coach, you've been in Kentucky for the last couple of years, and we have been plowing. We've been sowing the doctrine of interposition. We've been sowing, you know, the doctrine of the lesser magistrate. You know, Pastor Matt books have gone out far and wide.
The idea, folks, that courts don't make law and that state governments in particular have a duty to stand when the federal government overreaches, the state government has the duty, not just the right, but the duty to intercede. That's called interposition. And Rusty's been doing a lot of work down here for a couple of years here in Kentucky with a pro-life governor, one who's really a pro-life governor. We're trying to force their hand a bit to interpose, to stand up and say to the feds, go pound sand. Go ahead, Rusty.
Amen. Sorry. No, that's good. That's good, Coach. So you understand what we've been trying to sow and we've been watering and some tremendous things have happened. But here was the situation when it came to the rescue, Coach. I just figured we're asking the governor and the state legislatures to do a brave thing. We're asking them to cross the line and stand the gap between the federal beast and these innocent children. That's a serious step to take.
Although the governor did already order it closed one time, right, Rusty?
He did. The problem with that, though, Coach, was he was treating it as a health care issue that could be resolved by a legal technicality. And the problem with that, Coach, it doesn't establish God's justice. Because we got to remember, abortion is not a health care issue. Mm. It's a crime. It's called murder, and it needs to be penalized by law if we're ever going to be cleansed from blood guiltiness.
Right.
And that's why we're trying to lead the state of Kentucky to make that courageous step. You know, so what has been our message? Ignore Roe. Establish justice. You know, abolish abortion now from chemical to surgical so you could be the first state to become abortion-free and cleansed from blood guiltiness.
So, Rusty, this is actually happening all across America right now. Maybe not with abortion, but we see sanctuary cities, right?
Right.
What is a sanctuary city? It's a city basically saying to the government, go pound sand. That law does not apply to us, right?
Right.
We see the marijuana issue in Colorado.
Absolutely.
The state of Colorado has said to the federal government, keep your federal government rules out of here. We're going to legalize marijuana, and they did. And we say that abortion is even more so a states' rights issue, that the states have the right to be able to say to the federal government, stay out of here. We'll handle this issue on our own. That's the position, is it not?
Yeah, well, you know our history, Coach. With the Civil War and Reconstruction, our entire government system got turned on its ear. And that's where the federal government consolidated so much power. That, you know, so that's why so much government power has been centralized in Washington, D.C. course, the casualty has been states' rights and we the people. All right, so there is this movement now, knowing that the federal government has been out of control on so many areas and so many issues, that we are working on the state level. So we're not calling for a convention of the states. You know, we're not calling for new documents. What we're doing is we're calling the state government under their God-ordained authority to stand in the gap, to make up the hedge, to interpose and exercise this doctrine of the lesser magistrate in two particular areas, which are the spiritual and moral issues that has brought the judgment of God upon our nation, and that is abortion, child sacrifice, the shedding of innocent blood, and the homosexual agenda, where they're destroying the family and perverting marriage. And we're asking the state government to rise up, like Colorado did for marijuana, like other states have been doing with Sanctuary City, but of course in these two areas, to defend what is most important, innocent life and the family. And this is necessary for our survival.
Let me switch gears real quick because I got Chet sitting over here. Chet was actively involved in the state of Tennessee in the marriage debate, Chet, because in the marriage debate in Tennessee, we had a state legislator down in Tennessee. He said, listen, that federal law does not apply in Tennessee. Tennessee makes its own rules regarding marriage. And it kind of fizzled for lack of a second. Talk about that a little bit, Chet. Chet's the assistant director of Operation Save America.
Well, thanks, Coach. It's a privilege to be here with you and Rusty. Yeah, it's very important for people to understand what you said at the very beginning, and that is that courts cannot make laws. They attempt to make laws, and people sometimes, most folks say, yeah.
Freedom is law.
Yeah, exactly. This is the quote-unquote law of the land. But in Tennessee, as it is in several other state constitutions, marriage is defined as one man and one woman. So what this courageous state representative, this lesser magistrate, Mark Cody, was successful in doing, at least in raising the awareness of what the Constitution says in the state of Tennessee. And he was just basically writing legislation that undergirded what was already long established in the Tennessee state constitution regarding marriage. And for that reason, and that reason alone, there was a lot of fuel added to the fire when people saw this as a constitutional issue in the state of Tennessee versus this overreach, this encroachment by this judicial tyranny of the United States Supreme Court declaring marriage other than what was defined in not only the state of Tennessee's constitution, but several other constitutions in states across the country. So that was the essence of what was started the flurry there in Tennessee, which we were privileged to be a part of.
So the doctrine of the lesser magistrate, it's involved both with what Operation Save America folks, they work on cultural issues, especially as they surround the family. Marriage is important. Abortion is at the center of what's going on. So we see these two things being connected. You say, Coach, marriage, abortion, interposition, yes, we see both of these as the federal government ramming down the individual states, the people of the individual states, something that the people in that state do not want. Now, Rusty, let's flip back to the May 13th Mother's Day arrest. What motivated that, Rusty? Because, you know, for those, maybe fill in for everybody who's listening, the old idea of rescue,
right,
what rescue was about for back 20, 25 years ago. Rescue was a very common thing. Explain to folks who may be a little bit late to the game here, Rusty, exactly what we mean by rescue.
Well, what had happened, Coach, back in the day, there were certain men that the Holy Spirit just fell upon, put a strong prophetic mantle upon them. And when they spoke, brother, I mean, the fruit of it was brokenness. It was repentance. For the first time, Coach, through Operation Rescue, the church pointed the finger in the right direction. What I mean by that, up to that point, Coach, you know, we're pointing the finger at the Supreme Court, with the finger at the parole boards and the crooked politicians and everybody who was to blame for unleashing this hell upon our nation. The one place we did not point the finger was at the Church
of
Jesus Christ.
Huh?
Yeah, we had pointed in the man in the mirror. And when we realized, hey, yes, we're citizens of heaven, but we're also citizens of this nation. This is a national sin. It's bringing national calamity upon us. We are involved in this, whether we like it or not. And we're living in a nation that's shedding innocent blood. And so the consequences fall on us all, Christian and non-Christian alike. And so this brought about not just repentance, Coach, but fruit meat for repentance. So once we were done broken and weeping and sobbing before God, brother, we got up, we set our face like flint, and we just stormed the gates of hell. We went to the death camps, and that's where we learned the doctrine of interposition, where we stood in the gap between the victim and the oppressor, and by standing in the gap, we rescued the victim from the oppressor's hand.
And you sat in front of the doors, basically, is what you did, right, Rusty?
Yeah, we sat in front of the doors, and it was very, very successful, Coach.
Until.
Well, that's because why, you know, we were so successful at what we were doing. I mean, death camps were shutting down left and right. There were thousands of children that were saved, the horrors of death. There were thousands of souls that came to faith in Christ. So this was a godly move.
Because they saw people make a sacrifice of their life for their potential freedom for the unborn child.
Well, no greater love, Coach. No greater love. And it was a powerful Christian witness. It truly, truly was. And the only time I've ever experienced a genuine heaven-sent revival was doing the work of rescue. I'm telling you, Coach, the Word of God just came alive. Our faith was revolutionized. We saw, I mean, seriously, like Old Testament and New Testament caliber miracles that were actually taking place.
When men
laid down their lives, when they followed the example of Christ. You know what I mean? And there is a revelation. The innocent pay for the sins of the guilty. Mm-hmm. And so when the guilty sins of abortion or child sacrifice fell upon the church, there was redemptive suffering, Coach, and God moved powerfully, I mean powerfully through it. And it was such a powerful antidote against the poison of abortion that the pro-aborts moved upon the federal beast, the federal government, to go after us. So first they tried to treat us like gangsters and mobsters and racketeers. They charged us with RICO. That didn't work. And so they went to FACE, Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances. And this harkens back to the May 13th deal, what we possibly could be facing there. Because we haven't crossed this line of rescue, brother, in close to 15 years, okay? Because of how effective FACE was in shutting us down. Because what FACE did, Coach, they took a misdemeanor charge of trespass and they applied federal penalties. So we have 10 people.
Real jail time.
Oh, we have 10 people right now that could face the likelihood of 1 year in federal prison and tens of thousands of dollars of fines.
For sitting down in front of an abortion clinic door.
And you think about all these, like, the Black Lives Matter and they're rioting and they're
looting. Blocking the streets.
Blocking streets. Stand down. Don't touch these people. Let them get away with all their stuff.
It tells you something about abortion and how important it is to the God-haters, isn't it?
Oh, my God. The well, it is their religion, Coach, and abortion is their bloody sacrament.
Let me switch here. Folks, we're a little bit short on time because we have to travel down to the courthouse here in a few minutes, but I want to put Chet Gallagher back on. Chet was the first original interposer, and I want him to tell that story real quick. Chet was a cop in Las Vegas, Nevada, and rescue came to their town. He was ordered by his commander to go arrest the rescuers. Tell the story, Chet.
Well, just briefly, Coach, it was one of those situations where the Holy Spirit gets a hold of your heart, reveals the Word of God to you, and despite sometimes people coming and preaching you, interest in at heart, not to do something that God's calling you to do. And the opportunity was there to actually go stand in between the killers about to shed the innocent blood of the children and the parents that were coming to have their babies killed. And seated behind me were 92 Christians outside of this abortion clinic. And I just went there on duty in uniform as a motorcycle cop in Vegas, 3 months from being vested for my retirement, decided that didn't matter as much as standing as a police officer interposing to prevent the shedding of innocent blood. That's one of the worst pictures I could have. I actually look 10 years younger than I do right
but,
now.
But, Chet, you're really making
Chet, you look great. This, Chet.
It risked your whole career, didn't it, Chet?
Well, I mean, it did, and it cost me my job because I was the first one arrested that day in the midst of those 92 rescuers, but it wasn't your typical transition from law enforcement into full-time ministry, granted, and I had many successful jail ministries beyond that time, and been privileged to be in 70 plus of the best jails in this country.
Folks, we're talking to a couple of real heroes here. I know you guys don't, some of you guys listen to this show regularly. You understand what we're talking about. So, but I want to talk about something real quick, Rusty. I want to be sensitive to the time. We have to get downtown. Rusty, talk about the blood guiltiness. Folks, listen, if you listen to this show regularly, you know that I talk about the idea that what we're seeing is the demonic realm at work, that blood fuels the demonic realm, and that the reason that spigot won't be shut off is because there's demonic protection for the whole thing. Nobody can explain why Planned Parenthood hasn't been defunded or even shut down or arrested, for that matter. But Rusty's first brought to my mind about 10, 15 years ago, the doctrine of blood guiltiness. America is under judgment because of the shedding of innocent blood. Talk about that a second, Rusty, if you could.
Well, it's amazing, Coach. You know, once you get involved in this fray and you cross the line and you show up for battle, you know how you study the scriptures and, like, there's something the Holy Spirit puts his finger upon, and before you couldn't see it in the scriptures, and then all of a sudden it's almost like everywhere, every page you turn, you see it. It just comes alive, and that's what happened. Coach, when we crossed the line, brother, and showed up in this battle, we were clueless. A lot of us were. We were just brokenhearted. Our eyes were open. We knew we had to do something to defend the lives of these children. Of course, there's fasting, there's prayer, we're studying the scriptures. And, buddy, when I began to realize, and honestly, this is what's kept me in this battle for close to 30 years, Coach, because at first it was the plight of the children, you know. To see these innocent babies tore up like this. And it did break my heart, Coach. I wept over them.
How many children do you have, Rusty?
I have 13 children. So I just
got a right to do that.
Yeah, so I don't preach this stuff, brother. I mean, I've lived it. You know what I'm saying? But the point of the matter is, what I did not know, Coach, when I first crossed the line, is how this particular abomination impacts the Lord my God, who saved me, who pulled me out of a deep pit and put me on a rock to sing his redemptive song. Amen. When most people talk about pro-life issues, they talk about everything except how the God of the Bible views this thing.
Life and death, that's all there is. Yeah. The baby, bad choice, good choice, but not the ramifications
of Almighty God. And when you study from the Old Testament to the New Testament, as Christians, we understand the value of the blood of Jesus Christ, because we are saved. We are redeemed through his blood. We understand there's power in the blood. But what we really lack biblical understanding is the doctrine of innocent blood. In other words, how does the God of the Bible respond when innocent blood has been shed and it goes into the ground? And what we know from Scripture,
blood cries out.
Yeah, but it does. It cries. And here's the thing. You know, we go back to Cain and Abel and stuff like this, Coach. It says when Cain slew Abel, it didn't say God saw the blood fall to the ground. He said he heard it. He heard it. I mean, that is, like, seriously significant. So what did he hear? Well, we go to Revelation chapter 6, and you see the martyrs, you know, that have been beheaded for the cause of Christ, and their blood cries out. And what are they asking? They're saying, God Almighty, you have seen those who have put us to death. They have shed our blood. Arise, O God. You know, and it's calling for vengeance. It's calling for justice. And so this is a serious matter, brother. When you shed innocent blood and you go from the Old Testament to the New Testament, brother, I mean, God set up six specific cities called the cities of refuge. In other words, this doctrine is so serious to God. Imagine this, Coach. You're building a nation. You're establishing a nation. And God says, set six cities apart. Why? Because there's this one issue that is really serious before me, and that is the shedding of innocent blood. And I want to protect this nation from that abomination. You know, and you just go from Old to New Testament. And even in the New Testament, brother, when it comes to the crucifixion of Christ and the judgment that came upon Israel, what was the issue?
Blood's currency in the spiritual realm.
Buddy, it's huge. And what did the Jews say? His blood be upon us and upon our children. And, brother, it came upon them in 70 A.D. I mean, that was the issue. And so from Old and New Testament, brother, I mean, there is this one thing.
That thing right now,
we are. We are, Coach. And that's why it's important for the Church of Jesus Christ to rise up, to interpose, to stand in the gap. What does God say throughout the Scripture? I'm looking for a man, somebody that understands truth, somebody that will establish justice, somebody that will stand in the gap, somebody that will be a guardian at the gate. And if I see those people doing that, I will spare the city. I will spare the land.
Amen.
But, of course, in Ezekiel chapter 22, he didn't find any. And so what happened? All their corrupt and lawless works came crashing down on their head, Coach.
Yeah.
And that's what we're facing right now. And that's why the rescue and what we're doing here, Coach, is so vitally important for our survival as a people.
Yeah, so just take a couple minutes. I know you have to go. We all do, actually. Operation Save America, we're coming to Louisville. We were there on Mother's Day. We were here earlier in the spring.
Thank you, by the way, Coach.
Yeah, we're coming back. We're coming back again here in 10 days. For those who might be listening out there, Rusty, just tell them, what would they expect if maybe a guy could get off a Thursday and a Friday and a Saturday, and he could make it down to Louisville, Kentucky? What would he expect to see? What's going on here, Rusty?
Well, I would encourage that, Coach. What they would see is not American Christianity following American Jesus. They would see biblical Christianity following the Jesus of the book.
Hmm.
And I tell people all the time, brother, once they make that decision to cross the line, you know, to live out their faith in the midst of this corrupt and lawless land. Brother, just showing up, just going out there, two things, brother, you can guarantee. Okay, you simply can guarantee.
Sparks will fly, brother.
Sparks will fly. Spiritual warfare will take on a whole new meaning in your life.
Right.
But here's the thing, Coach. You get to experience the Lord in ways you never dreamed possible on this side of heaven, brother. Like I said, like when we first started rescuing, the Word of God came absolutely alive. We're literally living out the narrative of Scripture. I mean, it's literally, it's like all the experiences like that Paul went through, you're going through. In other words, you know why the psalmist cried out from his bowels.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because you're crying out from your bowels. You know what I mean? I mean, it's like everywhere you look, that's my life. In the Scriptures, I'm getting to follow in the footsteps of my Lord. I'm getting to follow in the footsteps of those who have gone before me, bro. And so, man, your faith just gets revolutionized.
Coach, let me paint a picture for you, okay? We were down here about a year ago in the spring. We did a regional event down here. And then we did Rusty and nine other brave people did the rescue on Mother's Day weekend. We're here again today. We're going to be holding a prophetic witness out in front of the courthouse. That's why we have to get ready to roll here in a second. And then we're coming here again on, give me the dates, Rusty.
It's July 22nd through the 29th.
July 22nd through the 29th. You don't have to be here the whole time. Rusty, it's just not going to be me and you and Chet and my wife, right?
I'm gonna, no.
There will be hundreds.
Honestly, brother, I think this might be the most well-attended event we've had in maybe a very long time.
And the church really, really comes out, and the church really, really is visible and seen in the streets, and sparks do fly. And so, folks, I'd just like to extend that invitation to any of you out there who would like to be part of Operation Save America event here coming up in 10 days. If you just come for a day or 2 days or whatever, the information you can find at OperationSaveAmerica.org. Yeah, yeah.
I had a real quick question,
go ahead,
Rusty, if you had. Rusty,
sure.
I was reading,
yeah.
I was reading Psalms 139:13 over the weekend, and it says, "For you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb." You're probably familiar with that verse.
Absolutely.
Here's my question. I do not understand how a death, burial, and resurrection believing Christian cannot read Psalms or in Jeremiah and not have a strong pro-life position. But we see it everywhere. Help me understand.
Yep.
How can you take God's word in its totality, be, quote, born again, a death, burial, and resurrection believer, and you go to Psalms or Jeremiah and read about God forming you in your mother's womb,
and come away from that reading neutral.
Well, what you're talking about, well, and that's a good question, buddy, and here's what we're up against. The scripture tells us that we deal with an enemy that blinds the minds of men to the glorious gospel that shines from the face of Jesus Christ. So that same enemy not only keeps the unbelieving world bound in a stupor and in darkness, but you got to remember, and this is really important, brother, you know, back when the church started, the early days of the church, this is what the scripture testifies. There was great glory. There was great grace. There was great power. In other words, there was miracle-working power taking place through the Church of Jesus Christ back in the day. But in the midst of that, the Apostle Paul says to the church of his day, he says, who has bewitched you? Who has cast a spell over you that you do not see and obey the truth? And so what we're dealing with, brother, we're dealing with a major disconnect between our faith, our reading of scriptures. In other words, we talk about the enemy. We talk about how he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. We know these are biblical truths. But what's happening, brother, there's a major disconnect from what we're reading in the scriptures and how it's actually taking place under our watch. And somehow we've been able to distance ourselves from the revelation of God's word and what's actually taking place here today. But there is a major blessing when we can connect the two. And when that happens, that's how people get birth into this battle, you know, for the souls of men, the lives of children, and the future of our bloodstained and perverted nation.
Wow, that's a mouthful. Thanks. Anybody have anything else? Anyone else like to speak, say something to Rusty here? Give you a minute.
Sure. Hey, Rusty, Chet, I just want to thank you guys for everything you've done, first of all. I want you guys to mention, if you can, to everyone, if anyone, I don't know, Dave can fill you in, or we can correspond later, but tell children are not sex toys.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I know.
Oh my gosh!
Children are not. Oh. It's all connected, Rusty.
Oh, it absolutely is. It absolutely is. Yeah, guys. I mean, this is a web of deception. Obviously, this is the enemy. I mean, it's all connected. Pornography, the sex trafficking. I mean, where does the criminal go to get rid of his evidence of sexual abuse, molestation, sex trafficking? They go to the abortion mills, and they rush those women in. They take care of business, and unfortunately, the abortion industry doesn't record this, doesn't report it, and so these precious little girls, these women, get abused over and over and over and over again, and there's nobody, especially our government, who this is their job, this is their calling, there is this ordination. You know, I talk to police all the time, Coach, and I'm going, man, you guys want to stop molestation? You want to stop sex trafficking? Well, there's a big funnel where all those crimes are being committed, but at the bottom of that funnel, where it gets very narrow, it empties out at the abortion mill. And that's where you guys need to be to do your sting operations to shut this nonsense down.
See, folks, not even getting into the deep demonic part of it, of the selling of the little baby body parts. They tell us, excuse me, it's for government research, but we believe that a lot of it's for demonic activity, see. So, Vince, that hole is so deep. Hey, Rusty, I see Brother Dale Socha has joined us here this morning. Hey, Dale, you got a word of encouragement for Rusty here this morning?
Oh, brother, he was the first person, and of course, the gang of eight, or gang of ten, we should say, that in 12, that was lifting up in prayer this morning. The second my feet hit the ground, brother, you know, I'm lifting you up. But you know what you were just saying, the ties of the, you know, the web of the sex trafficking of children and abortion. You know, it's a crazy thing, because if a policeman pulls up on the scene, the first thing they do is they strap that caution tape, do not cross lines, because they do not want to tamper or destroy evidence. when they are killing these babies, the police are allowing the destruction of a crime evidence scene is what they're doing. And that, you know, they need to connect the dots, but their eyes are blinded. And, you know, but all that aside, I know what today is. I know what these guys are going forward. Brother, I just, and of course I was going to text you because I knew that your phone was going to blow up, Rusty, that not only my heart, you know me, but my prayers are truly with you and have been lifting you guys up this morning. And I believe that God's going to be glorified in that courtroom today. I truly believe that. Remember, there's a book of coincidence out there, but it's not written by God, because in God's word, the word coincidence does not exist.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Dale.
And folks, listen, those of you who are just casually listening, thanks, Rusty. He's got to run. I'm going to disconnect here for a second, too. I'll explain how we're going to pull this off here in a second, Jared, because we have to run down to the courthouse. They are facing the possible. Those of you out there, I would ask you that you would take some time to intercede here this morning, because this is like an arraignment. It's the first step in this trial process. And so today they're going to be charged. Officially charged, and it is a possibility that the federal government, thank God Hillary Clinton's not president, or the federal government would certainly already be involved. But they face charges, federal access to clinic entrance, federal offense. They have not been charged with FACE yet, but that is something all 10 of these people are, the judge, they could move in such a way. So it would be our prayer that those of you out there in the next hour or so, just continue to pray that there would be a favorable decision, that the enemy would be defeated, plead the blood of Jesus over Rusty and all those 10 people that, hey, listen, they knew what it was when they picked it up, right? They're big boys. They knew what it was when they did it. But we just pray that the mercy of God would flow, and that God would do a great, great and mighty work down here. Here's what I'm going to have to do, Jared. I can see all the guys. I see Dale. I see everybody's listening, all 19 of you here. You guys stay right there. I'm going to have to disconnect from that aspect of it and go to the phone and listen on the phone. And here's what I want you to do, Jared. I want you to play back to back so that I can get caught up here with everything. There's I got two powerful videos I want you to play, Jared, one right after the other. The first one I'd want you to play, one's 5 minutes long and the other is four minutes long. I want you to play the first one, Jared, which is a five-minute video, which is the actual official video that they made after the arrest down here on Mother's Day weekend. It's about 5 minutes, and it's very, very powerful. And then something that you have got to hear, guys, you've got to hear. When that one's concluded, and I'll stay on the line, but I'll disconnect here from the queue. Then play Rusty's message to the pastors. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. What a powerful message that is. So it's going to be about that. We're going to play back-to-back here a couple videos. It'll be about 9 minutes, and then I'm going to get everything gathered up here and get in my car. Michelle and I will head on down to the courthouse as well, and I'll stay connected with you here by the phone. So God bless all you guys. Thanks for being here today. Stay in there together and encourage one another. If I happen to not fall off, you guys carry the show wherever it is. But then first video you're going to hear is a five-minute video of the rescue that actually took place on Mother's Day weekend, and then follow that with a video of Rusty making a plea to the pastors of why they should get involved. So here we go. Bless you guys.
Church abide. Good to see you.
Be your Savior, Lord, and God. It's going to be good. It'll be good. While on earth her faith. All right, we'll see you then. Oh, we beseech thee, hear us. May her voice be ever clear. Warning of a judgment near, telling of a Savior dear. Oh, we beseech thee, hear us. Keep her life and doctrine pure. Help her patient to endure, trusting in thy promise sure. Oh, we beseech thee, hear us.
60 million little baby boys and girls have been murdered in this nation. Oh God, in Jesus' name, turn our hearts. Open our eyes. How can we sanction evil? How can we call evil and abominations good? Oh Lord, we've fallen so far from you. And we kneel before you. We stand in the gap and say, God, have mercy. Have mercy on a wicked nation. Have mercy on a nation that is departed from you.
May she guide the poor and blind. Seek the lost until she finds, and the broken hearted bind. Oh, we beseech thee, hear us. May her lamp of truth be bright.
Day. You said you arrest the right people.
That's not
you. They are not criminals here. We're here to save life. They are the ones that are destroying life for blood money. And we all need to repent as a nation for this lawless act.
And I get it. As a pastor, you have legitimate obligations and responsibilities to be a faithful under-shepherd of the Church of Jesus Christ. But how many know God also wants to use pastors to be elders in the gates of their city? He wants pastors to be faithful watchmen upon the wall. What's in my city? What's coming in? What's going out? Is this harming the community? Amen? And so what do we do? Well, what do pastors do? If we're going to raise up a mission of the church, what do? We raise up leaders. We raise up laborers, right? We point out the mission, amen? And we provide blessing and covering and resources. And we make sure the saints are equipped to do the work of the ministry. Amen? Well, imagine if the church in America got this vision and mission called abortion ministry. Where we begin to live out what we believe. And how many know it's important for our witness that we live out what we believe? How many know if we're saying from the pulpit, abortion is murder, how many know it's important we're acting like someone's dying? Amen? How many know that when we don't do that, our witness as the church rings hollow? It really does, brothers and sisters. We don't realize what abortion has done to the credibility of the Church of Jesus Christ in this nation. Seriously. So this just needs to be a legitimate ministry. So what do? Well, we go to the congregation. All right. Where are my prayer warriors? Where are my intercessors? Who knows how to get a hold of God? Who can beseech heaven? Come on! How many of you got anointing with the high praises of God and the intimate worship of God? How many love to God, love to worship God in spirit and truth? Come on! Do I have any sidewall counselors? Any of you ladies here who have gone through this? And you've committed an act, and you know God intervened. You know God saved you. He delivered you, and He forgave you. Do you know that? Well, come on, mama! Come on! Tell them! Sweetheart, I know where you've been. I know what you're thinking. I've been through it. I've been there. I've done it. But I'm on the other side, and I met someone who set me free, and I want you to know him. I want you to know him right now. Come here, honey. Talk to mama. Come here. Talk to mama. Come on. We can do this, sweetie. You're not alone. You're not alone. We got any budding preacher boys in the congregation? Any preacher boys that we're training up and raising up, oh men of God? Do we have them? Bring them to the death camp. Young man, preach to that wall. Preach to it. If you can preach to that wall, you can preach to any congregation in the United States of America. Preach, buddy. Preach. But it's nothing weird. We're not doing anything crazy. We're doing the very things we do in church to honor God. And where the salt is coming out of the shaker, the light from under the bushel. And we're going into this culture of death. We're going to the death camp. We're going to the streets. And what are we doing? We're having church at the gates of hell. We're having church at the gates of hell. And how many know Jesus promised those gates will not prevail against the church of the living God?
Use the left 2 lanes. Left onto Blanket Maker Parkway.
That's powerful. Those that are going, I plan on going 22nd through the 29th, stay for the whole thing. And that's a hard burden call right there that Rusty just shared. I'm wondering about bringing our own signs, or are they going to have lots of signs available? I have personal testimony where I had an abortion experience right in 1973. When Roe versus Wade first was passed, and how the Lord delivered me out of it. So I'm looking forward to be able to share my testimony when I get there with somebody.
Jared?
Well, Ray, you'll get plenty of chances to do it.
If I'm... Jared.
Go ahead. Hey, this is Coach. Are you guys hearing me okay?
I'm sorry. Is Coach on?
Go ahead, Coach.
Is here. Hey, listen, hey, Ray, there will be signs. There'll be plenty of signs.
It sounds like it was breaking in and out.
There will be plenty of signs. You can bring your own, but there will be plenty of signs, and you'll have time for testimony as well. I promise you that. Hey, listen, guys, I'm having technical issues here. I'm in the car now. We're traveling down there. So I'll just let you guys kind of discuss what you just heard, whatever, and then God bless you. I'll catch up with you tomorrow. I'll catch up with you tomorrow morning. Go ahead, Jared.
Hey, Coach.
Jared.
Hey,
you be good, Coach. Brother.
I can hear you. Go ahead.
If they have any questions while I'm on the line, I'll be more than glad to ask them, being one of the leaders with OSA. Anything in regards to the up and coming event, guys?
Oh, yeah,
I'm here.
Dale, I'm at your disposal. Yeah, you take it from here, Dale. You take it from here. Thanks, Dale.
Brother, we'll be lifting up everybody down there in prayer. Obviously, guys, that Coach has lifted up what's going on down there. These gentle Christian giants stood before that last remaining death mill in Louisville, Kentucky, and they were arrested. They were first charged with simple trespassing, but we'll see what goes on in court today. But I believe they had the mentality of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. No matter what, they're not going to bow their knee, and they're not going to do a Faustine deal with any devil. So in regards to – yes, sir.
I want to have a comment in relation to video like this.
Sure, absolutely. That video was down in Arizona at the Apologia Conference with Jeff Durbin at his church, and it was to many pastors across the nation.
Here's my comment. I think one thing he said that touched me was when the family member, there is sadness. There is at times despair. At times, but the church has no action like that. The church says they're opposed to abortion. They're against it. But you don't emotionally see it in the church. And I think he was right on in that lack of emotion, that lack of crying out, that is the experience of death at times, is lacking. It speaks volumes to society. If we really cared and we truly believed this was murder, would we not be showing some of those characteristics?
Well, and the sad fact is that history has this strange way and unfortunate of repeating itself. We just go back to Adolf Hitler and the concentration camps and what was going on there. And many people in those cities knew. As a matter of fact, at the end of the war, I think it was General Eisenhower had took the local citizens around in Poland, and he brought them into the concentration camp and let them see and smell what death is, because he showed them what they had tolerated. Here's the way it was brought to me, and I've been in this for 22 years now. Pastor Bill Shanks, he says it best when he says this: the abortion ministry is the ministry of proximity. Many people in the church, I believe wholeheartedly, their hearts are that they think that abortion is wrong and that it is murder, and they talk about that amongst their circle and sphere inside of the church. I mean, you talk to many of them, they believe that abortion is wrong, but because their hearts are not there, come into the ministry of proximity. If they will come to the abortion clinic, their hearts will be then pricked, because that right now all they're doing is they have an idea of what abortion is in their mind. They don't know, because they're not in the ministry of proximity. But if you'll go there and see these little girls and young moms going in there and see when they come out staggering from the killing of their child and the paleness of their face, I'm telling you, it will grip you. It'll grip you to come out there. And so the ministry of proximity is important. And so the problem with the church is that we are the salt, but we remain in the shaker. And the salt is not good for anything, as it says in Matthew chapter 5, but to be then trampled underneath the feet of men. If salt will come out of the salt shaker, just like if you like salt on your steak, if salt will, you can have it on the table, it's there and you like it, but if you put the salt on your steak, it'll alter the taste of the steak. Same thing here. If we want to alter society, then the salt has to come out of the shaker and it has to be sprinkled on the earth, and it will alter the society around it. Roger.
Hey, Dale, do you have a list of the 10 people that were arrested, names somewhere?
If you go on to Operation Save America, I do have a list. I mean, I carry my own church business card in my pocket because I forget my name. So for me to tell you what the name, I know that Eva was one of the survivors of the concentration camp. She was arrested. Rusty was arrested. Cal Zastro's daughter, Eva, was also arrested. Dennis Green was arrested. I couldn't give you Jason, the last names, many of these people, but there is a list out there. You can go to www.operationsaveamerica and sure. You will see that list of the names of the people that have been arrested.
All right, thanks.
Any other questions, guys?
Well, I just like to throw in, we should also pray for the souls of the people sacrificed at Dresden at the same time.
What? I missed that.
Oh, well, the firebombing of Dresden. I mean, that was a heinous act as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, man, evil is all around us. There is no doubt about it.
You got it.
But, we have this, but you know what? We have this that is inside of us, and that is, that we who overcome, which is Christ Jesus. So even in the midst of the turmoil, in the midst of the storms, in the midst of the chaos, if you want to see a really unique parallel in how God judges, you can go to Daniel chapter 9, and there's three points. There's three points that when Daniel speaks, it's very clear, it's very, very prophetic. Daniel's praying at the window, and he says, "Lord, forgive my sin." So Daniel identifies this personal sin. So we have this personal sin that we have to identify with. The second point, he says, "Lord, forgive the sins of," watch this, "your people." And in your people, this is the identification of the body of Christ. So there's we're going to stand account for our own personal sin. And just like in Peter, it says judgment must begin what? At the house of the Lord. So the church is accountable, and the church is going to have this measurement of judgment. And then the last one, Daniel says, "Lord, forgive Israel." And so here we see that God judges in Revelations. It says that God judges the nations. Psalms chapter 2, nations of the earth who rise up against him, the Lord scoffs at them. God judges us according to our own personal sin, and we got to deal with that. We got to come to the point of repentance. But God also is dealing with his bride. He's purging her. He is so the church has to identify that we have this church sin, because the things we ought to do, we don't do, right? To him to know that to do right and not do it, it is sin. And then the last thing, this is where abortion is a huge one. God, the Old Testament, why did God judge Israel? Because of Israel's rebellion. So God judges the nation based on the laws in which those nations make. And so when we're going to pass where it's okay to kill babies, God, or to parade our sin, that's a unique thing, the parading of sin nowadays. It's not just the act of homosexuality. That's been going on forever. It says, but in the days and the Son of Man returns, it says they will parade their sin like Sodom and Gomorrah. You notice what they're called nowadays? They're parades. They're gay parades, gay pride parades. And so there's a parading of their sin. And so when we're willing to put that stuff out there, what the nation approves of and makes laws to protect, then that nation is under the judgment of God because she fails to repent. It's out, so. Yes. Go to www.OperationSaveAmerica, spell it out, .org or .com. It's one or the other, and I'm one of the national leaders. You can Google Rusty Thomas's name. You can Google Louisville, Kentucky, and you're going to see that there's a plethora of information, hotel rooms that you can book for that week. I thank you, Jared. Thank you, Coach. Thank you, gentlemen. Coach is a great man to follow after. He is a great man of God, trustworthy to sow into his ministry. We love you all and hope to see some of you all next week in Kentucky.
All right.
Have a good one.
God bless, and we'll see everybody tomorrow.
You got it.